This is Dr. Max D. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and to share this time with you. We always encourage you to get your Bible out if you're able to do so, and where you can have it open. And when we go to the Scriptures, well, then you can turn there and you can read them for yourself. And that's what we want you to do, because it's not what Pastor Younce says, it's what thus saith the Lord. So we refer you to the Bible so that you can read those Scriptures and know that it's not just something that's made up or so much opinion or someone's interpretation or something like that. But all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, instruction into righteousness, and so forth. And so the Scriptures are the final authority. In Psalms 118:8, it tells us it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. In Psalms 118, verse 9, the next verse, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That means because somebody has a high position, or the governor, or they're the president, or they're the representative, or in the Senate, doesn't make any difference who they are, what position they have. You take what God says over any philosophy they may have. And as he told Jeremiah in chapter 5, verse 26, for among my people are found wicked men, they lie wait. As he that setteth snares, they set a trap, they catch men. And then in verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? And then we find out here in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So it's very important, and you know it's an amazing thing when preachers expound the Word of God and put it out and say, here it is, thus saith the Lord, and people hate them for it. It is because they're trusting some denomination or they're trusting some man that has devised a religion, pawned it off onto people, and they do not take the Word of God, you see. Now, we're continuing this morning, and I think it'll be very interesting to you, because one of the most damnable things that Luther and Catholicism has perpetrated upon society is the fact of infant baptism. Now, may I say this at the outstart, and then I want to give you, out of the small catechism and large catechism of Martin Luther, I want to give you the verses that he refers to as far as to support infant baptism, and you will be shocked, because they have nothing to do with infant baptism whatsoever. But anyway, infant baptism being one of the most damnable things and that a person can project, and let me say this, and instead of getting mad, go to your Bible and refute what I'm saying then if you disagree. There is nowhere in the Bible ever where infants are told to be baptized. Nowhere do you ever find an infant that is baptized. And we're going to show you the trickery and the deceit and the absolute, cunningness of Martin Luther and what he does concerning using a scripture or two to try to support infant baptism. Martin Luther never came out of the Roman Catholic Church at all. Or, I should say, I don't even like to use the word church, because primarily almost everything they teach is contrary to the Bible. And that's a shock because some of the people that follow this organization never go to their Bibles, so they don't know beans from apple butter. They just get mad and pout and throw a temper tantrum and everything else and just remain in total ignorance because they will not look into the Word of God. Their popularity in the community or the place where they live is more important to them than it is to know what the truth of the Word of God says. But the end thereof is eternal damnation. By denying the Word of God, not trusting Jesus Christ, and trusting all of the rituals and all of the traditions that are passed down, that are made up in little councils by men who put themselves above God. Now, I'd like for you to go with me, and if you are able to do this, and if you're a Lutheran that's listening, then I'd like for you to go in your small catechism, and we'll begin here. First of all, they use Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and let me read on page 173 of the Small Catechism of Martin Luther. In number 251, on page 173, it says this, "How do you prove that infants, too, are to be baptized?" And Luther's answer is, "Infants, too, are to be baptized because they are included in the words, all nations." Now, I'd like for you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, because this is exactly the verse that Martin Luther uses. So we go there to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and as we studied this verse previously, I want to read it and then show you that I don't know how in the world he would ever use this for infants. But remember this, nowhere in the Bible do you ever find that infants are to be baptized. Nowhere. And nowhere do you ever find that infants are baptized by the apostles, by the church fathers, or our apostolic fathers, or that. But of course, some of them are not in the Bible, but some of them could be. Paul never baptized an infant. But in verse 19, here's what Luther says, and this to him, he's trying to convince you that this is infant baptism because of all nations. Let's read it. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." So, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, "go ye therefore and teach." Now, if you recall our previous studies on this, the word teach is a Greek word that means make disciples. So when you make a disciple, one who follows Christ, it is because they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're already saved. So therefore, teach or make disciples of all nations. Make believers. Tell them how that Christ died and he was buried and rose again from the dead. And then, after you make disciples of them, then you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And here Mr. Luther uses that verse, which is absolutely unbelievable to anybody that reads the Bible, that this is proof because infants are included in the words, all nations. Well, infants cannot believe. But we're going to find out that Martin Luther says infants can believe. Now, this is interesting, and then, but we'll go on. We'll get to that in just a second. But this verse has nothing to do with baptizing infants. All nations are those who you make disciples out of. And you make disciples when they believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Infants cannot believe. Are unable to do that. They hardly, all they can do is cuckoo. And yet you're telling me, Mr. Luther, that you're going to use this verse, which is pertaining to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are to baptize them in there, and you apply this to infants? Sir, this is unbelievable. This is what happens, Mr. Luther, when you insert your philosophy and you borrowed it from Catholicism and you carried it right on in to your followers, sir. Now, I would like to go on. The next verse that he uses is, in order to show that infants are to be baptized, he uses Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, which we covered a couple of weeks ago. But the part that he uses is in verse 39. Now, let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." The Greek word for repent is metanoia, and it means change your mind and be baptized. "Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for," remember the little word for is a little Greek word, eis, E-I-S, and should be translated, "because of the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, in verse 39 is what Luther uses as far as saying unto you and your children you are to do that too. For the promise is unto you and to your children. So therefore, he applies children to infants. Now, the only problem with that is, Mr. Luther, if you would have looked up at all in your Greek, you would have found out here that the word for children is not the Greek word that is used for infants. This is unbelievable that you would do that and so forth like that. I can't understand how that you can deceive the people here, and unto you and your children, and you're leading people to believe that the word children is infants. Well, that is erroneous, and the Greek does not bear that out whatsoever. Absolutely none. You see, the Greek word for children is not the Greek word for infant. The Greek word for infant is brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, Mr. Luther, and that is used indicating infants. The other word used for and to you and your children, this is not infants. The Greek word is not there. But you're implying to people now, if they're going to read your catechism here, your small catechism, that when you say infants are to be baptized because they're included in the words all nations, and also you refer them to Acts 2:38 and 39, and you're saying unto you, for the promise is unto you and to your children, I don't see the Greek word for infants, sir, and the Holy Spirit never chose the Greek word for infants whatsoever. If he had, he would have chose brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. That is not the Greek word that is used here for children, sir. Maybe you ought to look that up, and some of you that are listening, if you're Lutherans or you're Catholics, you ought to get your Strong's Concordance and go look up the word for children here and see if it's brephos. It is not. And therefore, it's not referring to infants whatsoever, Mr. Luther. You're very deceptive in what you put in your small catechism. You outright lied in your small catechism, Mr. Luther. And this is how deceptive, sir, that you really are. You are a false teacher. Now, why didn't you tell them what the Greek word for infants was? And therefore, your infant baptism, sir, would have fallen into oblivion, because there's no way you could use this. And to say that you're going to use this verse under your children to apply to infants they can't even believe is totally 100% dishonest, Mr. Luther. What a false teacher. Now, let's go on to something else that Mr. Luther also wants you to believe. You'll find out here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, and he says this on page 174 of your small catechism. So if you Lutherans are listening, you ought to mark down page 174 under number C, and you ought to turn there and look for yourself. It says, because infants too can believe. Now, I don't know how in the world you could ever pawn that off to any thinking human being, Mr. Luther, because infants cannot believe, sir. And you're trying to pawn that off. That transgresses any kind of human intelligence or common sense that I've ever seen. But I'd like for you in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, and we're going to read that, all right? In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, here's what it says. For whoso shall offend one of these little ones, I would underline that little ones, which believe in me, these little ones which believe in me. So the little ones believed. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, what hinges on this, Mr. Luther? You're trying to tell that these little ones are infants. Because back on page 173, you say, how do you prove that infants too are to be baptized? And this is your proof, Mr. Luther? This is unbelievable. And it's unbelievable to me that people follow this man. I mean, all you've got to do is go to somebody that'll show you what the Greek word is, and you can look it up for yourself. But the word little ones here in Matthew chapter 18 in verse 6 is mikros, M-I-K-R-O-S, is the Greek word for little. And we find out here, used as an adjective, let me give you what Vine's expository words on the Greek New Testament says that mikros is. And that is the Greek word for little ones here. It's not infant, Mr. Luther. The definition in Vine's is little or small. Strong's Concordance says it's a prime word, small in size. It is used in different ways, small in size, and he's of small stature, or he is of a young age, and quantity, there's a small amount, or the number. And then we find out it is given as little or small, but not as an infant, Mr. Luther, as you're trying to lead your readers here in your small catechism to believe. You're outright lying to them, Mr. Luther, because the word for infant is brephos, and that's not the word used here, Mr. Luther, and you should know that. But you're outright lying because you got baptism on the brain all the way through your catechism book when it comes to baptism. And this is so sad because you'll deceive people right into hell. But here's another lie using Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, that you're telling people now that this is infant baptism, and you use this, that these little ones as infants. And yet the Greek word is not for infants. It's mikros, M-I-K-R-O-S, Mr. Luther. It is not brephos, P-R-E-P-H-O-S. And I should think you would look this up, Mr. Luther, if you're you don't have a catechism, I suppose. You wrote one, but if you look it up in the Greek manuscript, sir, in the majority text, you'll find out exactly what I've said is true. Sorry you lied to the people in your small catechism, sir, and lead many of them right into hell and their babies, thinking that because they're a baby and you baptize them, that they're going to heaven and has something to do with washing away their sins, when here, the little ones is not babies at all, sir. It's not infants at all. It's young children. One of the great Bible teachers I ever met was 8 years old when he trusted Jesus Christ under Dr. Billy Sunday. We were having one of the outside tent meetings, and he said one of the great Bible teachers, we had him in Bible college, Dr. Mark G. Cameron, and he was at that meeting, that old tent meeting there, and he said, old Dr. Billy Sunday said, it's just a plain fact, you're a sinner. He said, boy, I knew that. And he said, if you pay for that sin, you're going to pay for it in hell. He said, oh, my grace, I don't want to do that. He said, but you have an escape route. The Lord Jesus loved you so much, even that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And he said, boy, oh, boy, I just trusted the Lord Jesus right there. Trusted him as my Savior. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther. He didn't trust his baptism to be saved, and neither did I. I trusted Jesus Christ, sir, and you are the great deceiver. With no apologies whatsoever, because the things that you're telling people in your small catechism here, you're an outright liar, sir, and all they have to do is check. Don't get mad at me. Just prove me wrong, you know, or I think you'll find you'll prove Mr. Martin Luther to be a great false teacher. Now, let's go on. Something else is sort of interesting here. He goes on down, and he says of this baptism now, how he's still under the heading here of infants that can believe. That's unbelievable. But anyway, he says, what does baptism give or profit? Well, it works forgiveness of sins, Luther says, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declares. Well, the words of God does not declare that, Mr. Luther, I'm sorry, but it just does not do that whatsoever. Now, another thing, let's go to where brephos is used, okay? And it denotes a unborn child. It also denotes a newborn child, and also we're going to find out if we go over here to Luke, and let's go here to Luke chapter 1, you will. If you go here to Luke chapter 1, we're going to show you where the word for infant or unborn child or just a child just born is used. And the verses you gave us, Mr. Luther, this word doesn't appear at all anywhere. So you've lied to your people if they believe this catechism here, this small catechism is yours. They'll believe theirself and believe you right into hell, sir. I'd like for you to go with me to Luke chapter 1 in verse 41, all right? Luke chapter 1 in verse 41, and let's begin to see what it says. Now, here is how the word brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, notice here, it denotes an unborn child, first in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, and also verse 44. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe is... They heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The word babe there, which is not born yet, is the word brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. Now, in verse 44, notice this. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The word babe is the same Greek word, brephos, or brephos, however you want to pronounce it. And it is used for infants, whether unborn child or those just born. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 12 and 16, and it's used for an infant who is not a young child yet. It's an infant. It can't believe. It's incapable of believing. It hasn't reached that age of mental capacity to be able to do that. You'll notice in Luke chapter 2, verse 12. We come here to verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. The word babe is the same Greek word, and it's used for infant. Notice here also in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph the babe lying in the manger. This is the word, Mr. Luther, that would have to be used in the verses, but it's not in the verses. You refer your people to follow you, sir, and you outright lie to them. You really do. And deceive them. Bring your little babies. But let's go now. I want to go to one more verse and get this in here, if you will. Let's go here to Luke chapter 18 in verse 15. Chapter 18 here in verse 15, okay? Luke chapter 18, and notice here in verse 15. Now, this is interesting here because there are two different Greek words that are used here. And they brought unto him also infants. Infants. And that word infants is brephos, and the same word for babe. These are infants. They're incapable. They're just born. They're not very old. Maybe a few weeks old. Maybe less than a year old, but they're infants. And then he goes on to say, they brought unto him infants that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them and didn't want them to bring. They didn't want them to do that. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer the little children. Now here we have little children. We have two groups here. Little children is not brephos at all. It's the same word, little, mikros, M-I-K-R-O-S. And it means small, it means little, but it doesn't mean infant. Now, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. They hadn't been baptized, but for of such is the kingdom of God. They belong to the kingdom of God, you see. These little babies and these little infants that have been so brainwashed by Catholicism and Lutheranism, well, have your baby baptized, have your baby baptized. First of all, listen to what I'm saying and prove me wrong, but you won't. Nowhere in the Bible ever did God give a command, or Christ or the apostles, or did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nor did the apostle Paul, who wrote 14 of the 27 books, and the so-called priest and so-called ministers that are nothing but puppets behind the pulpit following the damnable philosophy of Martin Luther, and puts this out just as Luther believed and just as the Catholic organization has perpetrated here. Have your baby baptized. Have your baby baptized. Well, what you don't realize is this is baptizing them to put them in and get them connected with their church so you'll be a lifelong member of their church and so forth. Nothing but a man-made philosophy to deceive you. Nowhere in the Bible ever are babies to be baptized. And here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. The problem is, when I've been out witnessing, and I've done that for 35 years, I remember one man down in Ohio, and I just went to knock on his door to invite him to church and that, and ask him if he knew he was going to heaven when he died. And he said, oh, yeah, I sure do, sir. Yeah, preacher, I do. And I said, well, how are you going? Well, my mother had me baptized as a baby, and I have my certificate. And he was a little from the hills. And I said, well, you know, it's not the water that saves you, sir, and that baptism doesn't have anything to do with you going to heaven. His whole countenance changed. He said, get the H-E-L-L out of here. I'm sorry, mother, but this is what you did to your child. You sealed his destiny to hell. And when I told him that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, and then you know what he came back with? This is the damnable part of infant baptism. He came back and said, well, you telling me my mother was wrong? Yes, your mother was wrong. Absolutely. Your mother was deceived. Now she passed that deception on to you. She should have looked in her Bible. And now you're trusting what your mother done, and then you're trying to tell someone, as a Christian, there's only one way to heaven, the same as Jesus Christ did. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, in John chapter 14, verse 6. And then what happens when you're witnessing as a Christian to try to impress that person that they have to trust Jesus Christ? It was Jesus Christ who paid for your sins. Instead of this tradition of sprinkling a few drops of water over the baby and saying this baby is baptized and it's all right now, and so forth like that. When this boy or young man or young girl has been baptized by mother, and then you tell her the truth, you tell him the truth, Then, because of the damnable practice of baptismal regeneration perpetrated by Catholicism and Lutheranism, then you have to have the man, in order to believe the Bible, has to go against his mother. And if he loves his mother, that's a very hard thing to do. And, Mom, you've sealed his fate right straight into hell. Because you follow the tradition of these denominations instead of looking into your Bible yourself. What you should have done, Mother, was take your son to Sunday school and got in a good Bible-teaching church. And where that pastor and where those teachers would have taught him that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and yet through this traditional thing of Catholicism and Lutheranism, of your baptismal regeneration, you sealed his soul to hell, sir and ma'am. You surely have. I couldn't believe that someone would be, and this was a grown man, probably in his mid-30s, and he's still trusting what his mother did, who had been deceived by whatever preacher she went to, that my child's all right now because I took him to the preacher and to the church, and the preacher put his hand in a little water and sprinkled it over my baby. I don't know how stupid you can be. I don't know how dumb a person can be when the Bible is so clear that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, but you are a liar, sir. You have deceived hundreds and thousands of people right straight into hell with your damnable philosophy of baptismal regeneration. And I thank God so much that I had a preacher come down to my house and tell me that God loved a sinner like me. And all I had to do was put my trust in him because he paid for my sins. And I knew right then by trusting Jesus Christ that I would never perish but have everlasting life. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, that you have perverted that gospel into a watery grave leading right straight into hell by your damnable philosophy of baptismal regeneration. Well, I see our time's gone. It just seems like we start and it's time to stop. But we're going on with this one more message on this baptizing babies, and we're going to show you, well, there's no place in the Bible ever was a person baptized until after they believed. Well, our time slipped away. We'd like to invite you to our church service Sunday morning from 10 to 11, and from Sunday evening from 6 to 7, and on Thursday night, a wonderful youth group we have on Thursday from 7 to 9, and we'd like to invite you to come. If you've never written, we hope you'll take time to do it. And our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And our zip code is 56180. Keep looking up, because the promise in the Bible is, Jesus is coming as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.